Hi, welcome, BBS, to our Monday night call. We've got a few minutes here. People were just talking about various subjects, and we're waiting for Wynn and Terry to come on. So welcome.
Colleen, has Terry mentioned anything about Dr. Freeman as to how he's, is he passing over okay?
No, she hasn't. Said too much.
Okay. Because I think last week or the week before, I can't remember, the Elohim, no, the Ra'an group mentioned something about he was having a problem remembering where he's supposed to be or something.
Well, I think they said it was a transition right now for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to our Monday night call. My name's Colleen. Can you say your name and cities?
This is Don.
Hello, Shirley
Ohio.
From Ohio.
Hi. Hi, Don.
And
you're the second person.
Yes, Shirley from Ohio.
Hi, Shirley.
Hello.
Welcome to our call. We're just waiting. It's about 2 minutes to count down.
And
hi,
Don,
good evening.
Don from Ohio.
Don from Ohio. Good
Hello,
evening.
Don.
Welcome to our call. The person who just joined us. Our Monday night call. Do you want to say your name and city? Or
only if you want to.
Or only if you want to. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Monday night call. We've got a few minutes before we start. Do you want to
good
say
evening. Demetrius.
Good evening, Demetrius.
Walbrook, Massachusetts.
Hi.
Who's this?
Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call, everyone. We'll be starting in a minute. If you want to say your name and city, go right ahead.
This is Marilyn, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Marilyn. Hi, good evening.
This is Marilyn,
hi, Marilyn.
Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. You guys must have come in right at the same time.
We did, I think.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy. Aha.
The Marilyn conspiracy. Watch out. They're going to get you.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome to the call, everyone. If you, we have, we're waiting for Wynn to come on. If, do you want to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Welcome to the call. Welcome to our Monday night call. Do you want to say your name and cities?
Yeah, Rick in Iowa City.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
So we're just waiting for Wynn. It's just on the hour now, so probably a lot of people are coming in. John, do you know what when Wynn comes in, can you do the quieting of the calls? Do you know what number to do? Is it start?
Hold on.
I can try. I can try a few numbers, but.
Wynn usually does that, but let me just try to log in. Hold on.
I'll try the one I think it is. See if it works.
You know how to do it? You know how to do it?
Yeah, I think so. Good evening. Welcome to our Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city, please?
Ellen in Virginia.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
We're just waiting here for Wynn. Should be a moment or two. Hopefully. Otherwise, maybe I could do a song and dance. I don't know.
Love it.
Good evening. Welcome to our Monday night call.
Hi.
You say your name and city?
Sure. This is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Oh, I am well. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Hello, welcome to the Monday night call. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Monday night call. If you'd like,
hi,
you can say your name and city. Hi.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi,
Colleen.
Hi, Wynn.
You're supposed to do the call tonight, okay? So, see you later.
Oh, yeah.
It is already.
Good one.
She already said that she was going to sing and dance for us, so we'll
wait.
Who's going to sing and dance for us?
Well, I just said if you didn't come in, maybe I could do a song and dance or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we do have a selection of music I could play, that's for sure.
Look at this. You are rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Hang on a second here.
Okay, do you want me to mute the dings?
Wait a second. Could be. Hang on. I'm trying to just bring something up here. Hi there, who's that?
I'm Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan.
Morgan.
Hi,
Morgan.
Yes.
You can't come into the call if you're still voting for Hillary.
Okay.
Man, you can't say that.
Well, I already said it.
Well, you can't try to force someone to, you know, take away their free will just, you know, because you know.
Yeah, but
they need to learn a lesson.
Yeah, but this is my call.
He's the leader.
All right, I'll make an exception. I'll make an exception to you. Okay.
Hey, Wynn, did you ever check out the Light Party? Somebody mentioned that a couple weeks ago in the kind of spiritually advanced ideas. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. The only problem is they think ETs are going to save us.
Yeah.
You know,
someone's got background noise.
Promoting organic food and all sorts of things that are...
Oh, no, there's a lot. Listen, people that think ETs are going to save us are usually really great people, okay? They really are. It's like, that's the thing about negative smoke screens, okay? I mean, sometimes people get mad at me because I say that stuff, but I have done so much research on this. I don't like to go in and talking about all the negative, because then I get people mad at me. But, you know, I will say both Carla and I have talked about this. We have talked to our sources about it. And ETs, do you know why they say that ETs are going to save us? You want to know why?
Why?
It's because they have a plan to have to bring people to their needs financially, economically, health-wise, and have ETs land and say they're going to save us. And if you get on the ship, your fate is worse than dying, all right? That's why it's such a scary agenda, all right? Now, you shouldn't believe me, okay? But if you're ever in a position and things are tough, and they say, here's the ship, get ready, or here's the underground things, we got food down there, just go ahead and starve. You'll be much better off, all right? And I wouldn't say that. This has been something that has been coming up for a long, long, long time. This realm is programmed, and they're programming us to believe certain things. And, you know, there's groups that want to take over the realm, mostly ET groups. And they're very smart, they're sharp, and they're technical. And I'm not explaining it all here. And I don't like to talk about it because I should back it up if I'm going to say it. But just believe me, trust me, or don't. Maybe I'm negative, okay? Maybe the ETs are positive, okay? But I'd have to talk for a couple hours to make the point, okay? And that's not the agenda of the call. Let's see. Fred, are you there? Fred Brooks. Hello, Fred. All right. Fred is now chickening out. Okay. Hang on a second. I'll tell you what. I was going to start with a song. All right. I love this song. Oh, wait a second. Let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is May 16th, 2016. Wayne, Jerry, and all of us, wherever we are. And this is our Monday night call. Fred, did you show up yet? Wait a second.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay. Right through the wrong cue.
This is a real Fred, right?
No, this is an imposter.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, Fred, you're unmuted, okay?
Oakley dokley.
Hang on a second. Okay. Hang on. I'm going to play a song. Okay, Fred? Is that okay with you, Fred? Of course it's okay with you. Right?
Play too?
I just love. I love this song. I think this song is like when I was younger. You know what? There's a lot of beautiful songs that have been out there. And hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
How many of you remember Sister Sledge?
Mr. What?
Yeah.
I was on stage with him.
Who was that?
Prudence.
Were you a singer or were you a groupie?
Well, our sorority went in college in Pittsburgh, and they dared me to get on stage, so I did. And I sang,
you did.
We Are Family, that the closing song, they handed me the mic, and I was up there with them.
Here we go.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Hour, right? You know what? I sent that song out in the email today, and I want you guys to play it during the week, and when you're playing it, I want you to think of the Elohim coming into your space, like we are family. And now I'm going to get...
All callers are unmuted.
Prudence, say something.
Hi. I love that song. I'm sure they had the mic off because I was singing my heart out.
Now, Prudence, you're pretty shy, aren't you?
Sort of.
It's pretty hard when I'm on
stage with Sister Sledge.
All right. And what sorority were you in?
Alpha Z Delta.
Alpha Z Delta. Mm-hmm. And what school were you at?
Edinburgh. University of Edinburgh.
Is that in England?
No, Pennsylvania. Not the Scotland one. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
University of Pennsylvania. Yeah, Edinburgh.
Oh, you were at the University
of Pittsburgh.
It's part of the University of Pennsylvania, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I love that school.
Cool. How do you know that? You love you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was born in Philadelphia. Okay.
Wow. My sister lived there.
And guess what? I was the founder of that school. You shouldn't tell people.
Wow. Okay?
In another life. Okay. I'm going to mute you all. Fred, say something so I can unmute you.
Hello.
I see you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. We're unmuted. And Fred, did you see the email I sent out today to announce this call?
Yes, and most people, including myself, will agree, I am mad.
The title of the email was, Is Fred Brooks Crazy? Okay? And, of course, you kind of have to be crazy by 3D work, by 3D principles, to do this kind of work. And since most of you that are on this call have trouble sitting in an ordinary way into life, and if you do, you probably don't relate to it, or maybe you're one of those people that has a pizza parlor and it's your ministry and you just make everyone happy who comes into your pizza parlor. You know, to be a minister, you don't have to have a title. You just have to hold the vibe and lift the energy in 3D. And, of course, that is easier said than done, as most of you know, because 3D tends to collapse energy fields, and other people's negativity tends to hold against you. But you're being tested to rise above the negativity. And we all need help to do that. I needed loads of help. And Fred is, you know, I scrutinize people pretty carefully. Now, it's possible I'm just a screw-up, that I'm wrong, but I don't think so. At least you probably don't think so because you keep coming back. And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Unmute yourself. Okay. Well, in any case, the trick of it all is to expand yourself, your hologram, larger than 3D. And when you do that, you don't necessarily see things. Some people do. They're called channels. Terry does. She can see things. Fred can feel things, and maybe he can see things. And, of course, we all say we want to expand our hologram above 3D. But there is a trick to it, and the trick is, as you expand your hologram, there is an obstacle field up there. And the obstacle, you could call them, if you're a Christian, demons. You could call them ETs. You could call them God knows what. But every time you go to a new level of expansion, you have a new obstacle field to deal with. And the obstacle field will always try to scare you, I was going to say scare the S out of you, because it wants to back you down. And so part of the real, one of the benefits people can get from coming to these calls is learning how to prepare for the obstacle field so that it's not a surprise and that nothing can get you that you don't let get you. But again, that is easier said than done, because when you're face to face with one of these obstacles, it can be scary. And believe me, I've had to go through it. Terry's had to go through it. We've gone through immense obstacle fields to be able to do this work, to be able to stay above the level of 3D, to be able to hold the energy for other people's negativity without getting pulled into it. And so this is really a kind of, those of you that keep coming to the calls are kind of on a training, got training wheels, because there's a lot of guidance here on how to get through that obstacle field and how to deal with it. And if you keep in mind that the fundamental principle of the universe is the law of one. Everything is ultimately part of you, including the obstacle fields, okay? And once you can actually deal with that, then it's like, oh, there I am again. I look like a monster. That's the monster part of myself. We're not doing that this life, okay? Well, Fred is, you know, it took me a long time talking to Fred. And, you know, sometimes people want to get to know me because they want me to give them exposure on our shows. And very rarely, if ever, do I do that. I don't bring somebody onto this show to give them exposure. Do it because I believe they have something to offer and share, which is going to help you. And it's going to help you expand into the higher realms, make a higher connection with sources, and get around the obstacle fields, okay? And, you know, connecting with the Elohim doesn't mean that you don't get attacked. In fact, it might mean you get attacked more. If you're thinking, oh, my God, I wish they would talk to me, don't be so quick. It's much better to get connected to the Ra group, because the Ra group holds a lower space in the hologram. And so here we are in our little human bodies, and we're in this huge illusion that this is all there is, the physical realm that we see. And it is an illusion, but it's so real that it doesn't matter. You know, it's kind of like, I remember when I was studying all these spiritual things, they used to talk about this realm being Maya. Maya meant illusion. And so you can walk around saying, oh, this is all a dream. This is all an illusion. The problem is, when it hurts, it really hurts. And when it hurts, you can say it's an illusion, but it still hurts. So when you're in it, it's very solid and very real. And in spite of the fact that it's a projected hologram illusion, mass hypnosis that makes us like the Matrix movie, and that the areas that we don't see, that but we can feel, are beset by everything from the Elohim down to astral insects that possess you. And Fred, there's this ability that one can have that allows them to project their energy. And I think many of you have experienced that on our Sunday call. You have felt your energy get really big. You have felt the connection. You have felt part of a family. And, you know, a couple years ago, I would have never played that song to start one of these shows because nobody was in the experience of it. And now many of you are having the experience of we are family. We've learned to feel each other's energies. We've learned to feel the energy projections from the higher realms. And when you expand to that, you can't just stay there. You're still in 3D. And so it actually increased the level of your tests in 3D, in my opinion, for most people. It increases it. It just goes with the territory. Because now you've expanded, and you've expanded into not only the higher realms, but part of you is in the lower realms of expansion. And it's above 3D, but it's still a lower level of expansion. And in that level of expansion, there's entities, there's possessions, there's astral, there's deceased people, loads of them. And so when you tap into the high, really high levels, you are going to become more aware of the lower levels, but you're not going to see it. And you're going to be confused about what is that impacting me. And we talk about it, and we try to give guidelines. But Fred is one of those people that can look in your space and tune into it and see the negative beings that might be attracted to you. And it almost happens to everybody. It's like it goes with the territory of expanding into higher realms. It goes with it. And it took me a while to figure that out, because I remember when Daphne was first channeling, and she was getting extremely negatively attacked, and people would say to me, well, if you're talking to the Elohim, why don't they protect her? Okay? And I asked myself the same question. And I said, is this really positive? I mean, why are they allowing this person to get attacked? The issue was not that they were allowing it. She was expanding into this realm where she was extremely vulnerable, and neither she nor I knew how to bring in protection. Sometimes it happens with Terry, but Terry is really good at clearing it quickly. And, you know, Fred, I'm supposed to be talking to you, and like usual, I'm hogging the mic, but I want to set the stage so that we can talk freely about what you do, because I think Fred really does this. And it is for you guys who are wondering, okay, I'm going to the call, I feel the Elohim, and now my week went like hell again. And what's going on? Why is it? And then you start judging yourself, and you think, oh, I must be bad. I'm not spiritual. I don't feel loving today. Everything looks terrible. And very often, it's because either you had them all the time or you attracted them because you expanded negative entities on the other side that wanted to pull on your energy. See, they're parasitic. In general, they're parasitic. And the higher you go, the more light you have, the more they're attracted to you, because you have energy to give them, and they're energy vampires. Fred, let me just say, am I expressing this in a way that you would? Does it make sense to you?
Absolutely right. I tell people all the time that they saw your light, were attracted to you, and that we are responsible for our own protection, at least to a large degree.
Now, you know, tell us a story, but don't use the person's name or anything. Tell us one of your good stories of somebody that you worked with that you were able to clear them of the negative stuff that was impacting them.
Okay. Where do I start? I cleared someone recently, and it went back to someone in body that was doing black magic, and they were putting things into people. And this doesn't happen very often that we do this kind of stuff, but the person, we took them down to their essence, and it was a matter of self-defense because they had put something in me. They didn't like me going around undoing what they were doing. And so I'm recovering from that now, just about done with that. There's cases where somebody called me and said, I don't know what's going on. Nobody returns my calls. Animals are dying on my farm. And my truck won't start. Nothing's going right. The people or the members of the family are getting sick. And I looked at that and had a long talk with the team. And they said, these are particularly nasty entities. Be careful. And they said, and make yourself invisible, which was new to me. I said, okay, we're going to do this in 5 minutes. I'll sure learn to do that. I'll put that on. I worked this one with Liz, and we did it. And so I said, well, I don't know how to do this. So how do I be invisible? They said, well, to be invisible on the astral plane, you spin energy around you in a clockwise motion. I said, okay, well, I can do that. But how am I going to do that and go to the clearing? And I learned a long time ago that I can call upon my ancestors with a couple of notes. They added some notes. You call on those that are positive, service to others, but honor the law of one, and that will not be harmed by this. So first off, I don't want my drunk Uncle Joe showing up and messing everything up, but you don't want anyone to come in that will be harmed by the entities either. So this all happens with... These are special instructions that we were taken in like 10 minutes. And then we went in and started clearing. And when it was over, there were no suicides. The animals quit dying and life went on. That was a more extreme case. But
how recent was that?
This was about 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
One of the more extreme, because it involved just like everybody on the ranch, just about. And it was very, mm-hmm. very strong negative entity.
And did the whole ranch, the vibes of the people clear after that?
Yes.
And it stayed clear. Yes?
It stayed clear. Yes. Yes.
I mean, oftentimes people, when they have things around them, they have patterns that keep bringing the things back again. So even if you clear it, if they run the pattern, they'll attract it back. Isn't that right? In a lot of cases?
Right. Right. I put that on the website that, you know, I could clear someone, but if you don't change what allowed it to happen in the first place, well, it's going to come back. And I can't be responsible for everyone's spiritual hygiene. So, which mm-hmm. just means prayer. You do your prayer, your talk with the divine, and your meditation. And so, you know, give 5-10 minutes in the morning and 5-10 minutes in the evening to the divine. Call in the light. Say a prayer. Prayers of gratitude are very strong. Prayers of others. Make your own little prayer list. Very strong. Prayers for the dead. Very strong and powerful. And they raise your vibration. Mm-hmm. And the more your vibration goes up, the less susceptible you are to what I call the little ankle biters, the little weak negative things, you know? But it's mm-hmm. true that even the stronger we get attacked. But I've learned to deal with most of it. Like I say, the last thing was put into me. I get attacked all the time. But I've also learned shielding, protection, to put up energy walls and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about your team, and I've heard Fred say this many times. his team. And I could relate to my team. I would say I have a team. Terry has a team. We have the Elohim. Because we're doing their work in this realm, they monitor us. But interestingly enough, when the S hits the fan, which it has a couple times in this work, it wasn't the Elohim that came in. It was the Ra group. And the Elohim is so high that I'm not sure this is true completely. I mean, I don't know. I'm just an amateur here. I will always be an amateur. But I don't see the Elohim, but I can feel the energy. Just like when we do these calls, you guys feel the energy. And you feel your energies open up. You feel the space around you open up. And probably some of you are having clearings with the groups we're working with on the calls, and we don't even know it. We don't document it. And Fred has a team, and I didn't know any. Fred was coming into our calls for quite some time before I even knew he was there, and he was recognizing the energy on the calls, and I imagine he was feeling some sense of protection. And then as we started to get to know each other, he started, he can talk to his team, and he hears them answer him. And that he asked them, is it okay if Ra'an comes in and works with you? And they said, yes. And tell us your experience with your team. How did you figure out you had a team, Fred?
Well, at one time, my apartment, I saw an attachment on a medical worker. I didn't know what to do. It freaked me out.
Was that the first time you ever saw an attachment?
First time I ever saw one with my eyes, yep.
And what did it look like?
So everything popped.
What did it look like?
It was two-dimensional. It was from the second dimension. It was two-dimensional, so it was flat. It looked like somebody took a compass and drew a perfect circle. And there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where this guy on the bus with this golden hair and weird smile falls down. He breaks into glass. It looked like that guy. I can't remember the name of the movie mm-hmm. now. But it had like 3 to 4 inch spiked hair that was between like yellow and fire. And pretty much frightening. Once I saw it, I didn't look at it again. I did not acknowledge it. I didn't want to get into an argument or a acknowledging. I kept going through paperwork. Yeah. It was so shocking that I filed it back in a file cabinet, way back in the back, and a file in the back of the drawer of the file cabinet in my mind. By the time I got out to the van, I'd almost forgot about it. That's how bad it was. And then I sat in the van getting ready to leave, and I didn't start the van. I'm going, what happened? What happened in there? Because my adrenaline's still up, and did you really see that? Holy crap, I did. And then I went through the whole thing in my mind. And I, okay,
scared
so
you.
Now
it scared you, right?
First time Fred? I did. That was the first normal time I was afraid, yeah. It scared the hell out of me.
How many years ago was that?
Certainly did.
How many?
That was about 6 or 7 years ago. 6 or 7.
Okay. Excuse me for interrupting.
Six or seven years ago. No, fine. I didn't know what to do. I went to 3 local churches looking for advice. That's all I wanted, you know? The one church says, we don't have anything for anything like that. And I thought, well, people proclaim to be Jesus, you know, cast out demons, healed the sick, walked on water, but he believed like half of that. So I figured in my mind, I didn't say this, but I figured, well, they must have thought that just evil stopped to like the year 852 at noon or something, and now everything's daisies. So I left them and went to another place, and They gathered around me and put their hands on my head and prayed for me. And I thought, well, this is nice. I really appreciate it. But I'm not the one with the attachment. So I left there, and I thought, who really, you know, looks at the spiritual side of this? And I thought, well, the Catholic. So I went down to the local Catholic church. I am none of these, was none of these. So I went down, I talked, and met Father Tom. I met him, told him the story, and he's the only one that at least would listen to the story. And he said, well, what do you want, Fred? And I couldn't get the word advice out to save my soul. It would not come out. It was on the back. Advice would not come out. I said, holy water. I had never used holy water. I don't know where it came from. He said, sure. So we go back, and he said, gives me a bottle. I'm filling the holy water, and I'm not even paying attention. I just want to go home and lay down and get rid of the pain and take in the day of what has happened. So I didn't know this. He's getting out his planter, and he says, okay. He said, well, I go to the prison on Wednesdays. And I can, Wednesday nights, I can stop by after that. That's okay with you. I said, sure, fine, whatever. You know, great, great, Father, great, wonderful. So the holy water, and I come home. And from the time I sat in the van and realized what had happened, it just came to me, pray for a week. I don't know where it came from, but I decided to pray for a week. So I was still looking for advice, but I was going to pray. And I'd never prayed for anybody for an hour. I mean, not that I haven't prayed, but that's a long time to pray for somebody for a week. But that's what I was going to do. And once I came home from the Catholic Church for a week. So I did.
You were praying for this guy that had this attachment, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I started praying, and I prayed Monday, and I worked it like a job. I prayed 8 to 10 hours a day. I took a 15-minute break after 2 hours. I took 30 minutes for lunch. I prayed Tuesday. I prayed 8 to 10 hours. I prayed Wednesday. And about the time I was getting ready to quit, there's a knock at the door. I open the door, and there's Father Tom. I went, oy vey, I forgot the priest. So he comes in. And I'm sure he was looking to check to see if there's any Aramaic writing backwards on the wall in blood or something to make sure I'm sane, which he should have done, you know. And it all worked out. We had a, you know, I had experience in the Air Force, and he had a relative that was Air Force Chief of Staff, and we got along. And so he had blessed the apartment and me and left. And I said, okay, well, that was fine. So Thursday, the fourth day, I get up and I'm praying again. It's 8 to 10 hours. Pray to quit. Spirit flowed through this apartment. Now, I live in Alaska in the middle of winter, and I thought, like, the window was open and the wind was blowing, but it wasn't cold, and it was winter. And, I mean, I'm looking for papers to move. It was that strong. And my hair to move, and it's not. I'm going, no, not wind, water. It had that thick substance to it. And so I'm looking, and nothing is moving, but this is palatable. I can feel it. And I'm overanalyzing it, right? I'm thinking it. And I realize, which I have a tendency to do, and I just said, oh, shut up, Fred, and sit down before it ends. It's not going to last forever. So I sat down, and it flowed through for a few minutes. And from the living room, across the apartment, out the kitchen, wherever it went. And that was it. And I experienced, I was in a spiritual, talk about high vibrations. My vibrations had never been that high. And I was in the spiritual ecstasy for 3 or 4 days. And I was brushing my teeth. I can't remember if it was the first or second day in the morning. In the bathroom, and right by the door walks this guy in a white robe. And I'm just grinning. I'm grinning like the butcher's dog. And it just was normal to me at that time. And I said to myself, Fred, you know, if you stick your head out there, you're not going to see anything, right? And here comes another guy in a white robe, walks right by the door. I'm going, son of a gun, you know. So about the fourth time, and I'm brushing my teeth, I'm spitting my quit. And then, right then I knew, I had no idea what was going to happen, but I knew whatever was going to happen, it was going to be okay. That was the message that I got. It's going to be okay, whatever happens. So
I want to clarify.
Grand Central Station, the apartment turned into Grand Central Station.
The guy in the white robe was not in 3D, right? Right?
Well, I think he was in 3D. He was just as plain as he was, but I don't think so, because I told myself, you know, if you stick your head out there, you're not going to see anything. So it's like I knew he was in 3D. That's correct. It's like my vibration was high enough, and they were low enough, came down to meet me. We met somewhere in the middle kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Did he talk to you?
That's how I understood it at the time.
Did he talk to you?
No. No, they were trying to get my attention. Did not talk to me. I later asked why. And they said, because your discernment is so high, you wouldn't have believed this anyway.
Okay.
So we thought we'd have you ask questions, which I did, of course. I chased those guys all around. But, all right, who were these guys? Who were these guys in the white robe? I even asked Terry once. You guys have a special one Saturday where people could ask questions.
Right,
and
right.
The answer was, well, you reached a very high a plane of light, and the beings were there to get your attention and give you a message and blah, blah, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that was your first incident. And was that your team?
Yeah.
That was your team. Right?
It turned out to be, yeah, part of the team, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it at the time. Turned out to be the team.
Did the team exist before you became aware of it, or did it form and group together to help you?
I think that at least part of it was waiting for me to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had apparently made an agreement to do this during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find out till later that I thought they were training me because I was getting lessons. But I later found out they weren't training me. They were trying to get me to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept hearing, remember. And I go, well, wait a minute. You know, then I started asking questions. Have I done this before? Yes, of course you've done this before. Because I didn't remember any past lives then, and I'm just now remembering bits and pieces as they can help me, you know. But I didn't know I had a team, so I was trying to clear the apartment by myself, and there would be what people call shadow people, Jin, you know, next to the bookcase, and I would walk over and said, look, you know, the best you're going to get here is a handful of minerals. You'll never get my soul. And so you also are a creation of God. I love you, and I meant it. I had to know that I meant it, and I did. I love you, but you can't stay here. Take a blessing and leave. And I would start to bless it. And before I was done with the blessing, they were usually out of there. They can't stand it, you know, the love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started, and they were lower level, you know. But that's how it started,
That was only 7 years ago, right?
Right.
Man, you have come a long way in 7 years.
Yeah, I've never had a teacher. Yeah, well, I started to remember.
right.
Yeah, I never had a teacher in body, you know, no guru, never a following. I had already done, because I was an intelligence analyst in the Air Force, so I'd already done a lot of the research that people are doing now about what's going on, the control of my threads, a nice guy to go fishing with, but his politics are a little, you know, and I said, okay, so this isn't going to work, so I just quit.
Okay, now, let me, I want to, you know, we only got a little bit of time, 5 minutes left here.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did that go fast. Didn't that go fast, Fred?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah. Terry, are you on the line?
I don't see her line, Win.
Oh, I wonder where she went. Okay. Well, what I want to ask you, Fred, is...
Mm-hmm.
for quite some time, you were doing kind of this clearing work with people, and you just were doing it for free, right?
Right. And I was doing it word of mouth locally, and I thought I had to be on site. I didn't realize I could do it anywhere in the world at the time.
Yeah. And now, it seems when somebody works with you, you actually are an interface with your team, and if your team agrees, you can dispatch your team to do the work. Is that about right?
This is correct. Most of the time, occasionally they will require me to participate. Like I just had to go down to the cemetery downtown. There were 30 souls that just wouldn't cross over because they were so freshly left their bodies and still so attached to the material that they had to have somebody. They wouldn't believe the light beings and angels. They would only believe somebody in body, someone in body. So I went down, said some prayers, and called in the light, and they crossed over.
I know that's another thing you've been talking
about. You need to go back to the cemetery.
You have been helping people, discarnate entities, cross over, right?
Right, right. Oh, yeah, from day one. That was one of the first things that Liz and I learned to do together. We learned that same time.
And one of the things I know...
The guy ran in the room. The guy ran the room.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is when you work with somebody... let's see. When you work with somebody, you stick with them. You check on them. Fred doesn't have to talk to you. This is my experience. It's like once he tunes into your energy, he thinks about you, and boom, he's clearing you, and he's dispatching his team. He cares about people, and he stays on the case. And he's pretty aware that this is a critical time in people's karmic growth, and that many people have obstacles of various kinds of entities, ETs, aliens, around them, and they think it's them. Your obstacles, what seems to be your most difficult obstacles, are actually things that are attached to you that just seem, you think it's you. Sometimes it's they've been attached to you for lifetimes. And Fred seems to have the ability to separate you from these obstacles, okay? And I really wanted to give him a good presentation because I've watched now for quite some time. I'm not prepared. I've gotten emails from people that have worked with Fred, and they're blown away by the way things shifted in their life after he did this with them. And I didn't want anyone to miss the opportunity to work with Fred. If somebody is working with you, what happens at first, Fred? What do you do?
Well, first I find out... I ask them what the problem is, what they think the problem is, what's going on in their life. And if it depends on which way it goes. And we'll talk. And once I decide whether or not it's energy, attachment, entity attachment in their field or a possession, something in the house or the property. I hold a three-way. The team is here. I'm talking, so the team tells me basically where the problems are and ask them if they're willing to put their energies into this, and it's usually yes, almost always yes. Sometimes they won't, and that's if it's a lesson for the person. Otherwise, they do, and it's almost always yes. And so we'll start clearing. And, all right, one person had attachments. There were things in the house. There were things outside the house. I said, okay, we're going to clear the inside first so that you're clear, and then the team's going to work on the outside. And people that are sensitive even before I say it, go, oh, I can feel it. Oh, it feels so, I can feel my body changing. And as I'm talking to them, the team is working. And so then the inside's clear, and I tell them, well, don't go outside for a couple of hours because there's a little hell racing going on out there, okay? There's a battle going on. And if it's just case that there was a history of black magic in the family, okay? So it was really bad outside, and so they started working, and I called them back, and I said, okay, it's clear now. I'm going to put some protection around you, and things should be fine. All those entities and ancestors are out of your sphere of influence, and what we try to do is heal everybody that can be healed. So those that will go into the light, go into the light. Those that say, I'd rather die, I ask that they be taken to a place where they can harm no one or no thing, and that is usually a negative universe in the multiverse. And most, believe it or not, universes are negative. There's so many of them, and they are negative. So they just kind of all pile up there. They can all be mean and nasty to each other. And that's usually
Fred, how it works. Fred, it's 6:56, and I just want, in the email today that we sent out, I have Fred's website. And on his website is his phone number. But I'll just say it in case you didn't get the email. It's heavenlyclearings.com. Heavenlyclearings.com. And Fred is really committed to helping people free them. I know his intent is really high in freeing people of their obstacles, of their entities. And, you know, he doesn't charge very much, and he doesn't usually turn people down or, you know, that need help. And he's kind of a master at this. And we've asked our sources about his work, and they endorsed him. Heavenlyclearings.com. And you want to give your phone number, Fred? You can do it.
Sure. I think the reason that they endorse is because we have some of the same sources, not just you
right.
and I, but also some of the people.
Fred, real quick.
907-229-2475.
All right. Well, Fred, thank you so much for coming. By the way, Fred does often come to our Sunday calls, and when he's there, I have him help me in the second part of the call, in clearing the energy on the call. And those of you that are on last Sunday's call will remember how amazingly high the energy was, and partially it was because of Fred. So, Fred, stand by your phone, and thank you all for being here, and I'm going to unmute everybody. Let's see.
All callers are unmuted.
There
thank
we go.
Thank you so much, Fred.
Thank you
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Love thank you.
Bless you all.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you for yesterday's evening.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
We're family.
Love to all.
Could somebody repeat that phone number?
Sure. Fred, 907-229-2475. Go ahead.
Say it again, Fred.
907-229-2475.
Okay,
thank
great.
Thank you for the call yesterday.
Okay.
Sing because it's done. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.